Most people, when they hear the word capital, they think about money. We'll make the argument that money is the easiest one to deal with. Whereas some of these others, most people don't even realize that they are capitals, meaning they don't realize that I could go out and get more of any of these other four areas.
Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. We're on right now. It's happening.
We're live?
We're streaming right now. Can you feel it?
Is anybody here? It says Lil Dumpling is here.
Yeah, I see. I see Lil Dumpling. I'm not sure who that is. But anyways, hi, how are you today, Mark? Did you play golf this morning?
I did. I had a 6 a.m. start that was rainy for the first four holes, but...
And what do you do? Do you have some rain gear? You know, there's a whole industry of rain-proof clothes for the golf aficionados.
Yeah, typically if it's rainy, I stay home. But today they were promising it would stop real soon. So we pressed on. But no, I don't own any of that stuff. So I just got a little wet.
I have one thing that my father gave me back in the day, which I like. It's a rain-proof. It's like a shirt like this, but it's really blousy. It's super big and it's short sleeve, super big in the arms, free to swing, free to move, and waterproof. But then you have to accompany that with a gigantic hat, which I'm not that into.
Yeah.
How'd you do on the links?
Well, ever since last week when I told you I broke through the 80 barrier, I feel like that's now the floor. I'm not happy if I shot an 81 this morning, and afterwards I was thinking, man, I didn't play very well. And then I thought, 4 months ago, I would have been so happy. So I don't know.
My sort of news life update is that tomorrow is my anniversary, 23 years. I think a 50 is a goal line. That's what you want to hit. So I think 25 is halfway home. So I'm trying to hit halfway, trying to get near halfway.
It's looking good for halfway at this point.
Yeah, I feel good about the prospect.
I was at your wedding, you know, 23 years ago.
That's right. And then the day after my wedding anniversary will be my wife's birthday. So I always have to... come, you know, I have to produce on those 2 days. So I'm going straight from here. As soon as my rear end leaves this chair, I'm going to pick up my wife and we're going to stay in a fancy hotel downtown because I'm going to be putting, this is a teaser, financial capital against relational capital. That's a teaser. That's a teaser.
Well, why are we teasing when we can just dive in? Let's
Well, yeah, we can. I just want to throw in one thing before we dive into the topic, and that is this. The reason that we're talking about this today is because the Five Capitals, the Abe's Wallet Five Capitals working weekend is coming. We hope that people are already putting that on their calendars. It's for October 11 through 13. You and I will be there with 25 of our closest friends. And the reason that we're doing this.
Is there a 25 person cap?
Yes.
That's a big deal.
That's my imposed personal cap. We can arm wrestle about that later, but I just think if we got too much over 25, we're going to limit our ability to have like touch points with each person. So I don't know if it was 30. Okay. I could make 30 happen. We're not going to make 50 happen. It's too many people. So we want to keep it small enough that there's huge value for people that actually come to the trouble to show up in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. That's where we'll be, is Harrodsburg, Kentucky. And it'll be a weekend of good conversation. Guarantee that we will have fun and we'll do outings things. It's at a golf resort. So people who are into golf like you, you're going to be leading a crew of people playing several rounds of golf. I'll probably play one round of golf and do other fun things as well. Signups, Signups are ready to begin on that for people to start signing up for the weekend. Like officially, we've done sort of, hey, if you're interested, you could sign up here. But we're going to actually start taking money and doing official signups and putting names on lists. Okay. Good?
Good. And okay. What are we talk about?
Yeah. The reason that we're going to Oh, the link is in the show notes. Our producer just told me our link is in the show notes. That's wonderful. The reason we're talking about this topic is Five Capitals, as you might have seen from the title somewhere already, is because that's going to be the theme of the weekend, is working on Five Capitals for each person that comes. And I'll describe that as we go. So I'd like to start the, I'm going to use high technology here. I'm going to use a banner, and I'm going to surprise you with the way that I'm going to start off the content this week. And that is, I'm going to pull out a verse from Romans 8. Ready? Boom. There it is. And here's what Romans 8 says. It says, how did he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So there's a heart in God that he would freely give us all things. So I just want you to consider what you have at your disposal. You have your time, your talents, you have your family, your choices, you have all your material possessions, all of your potential that's inside you, all your dreams, your ideas, your physical capabilities, your authority over space and objects and animals. These things were all given to you. Now, I'm not saying that you didn't work for anything, but the Bible even claims that God has authorship over your will and your ability to go earn things. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And even your potential to work is a gift from him. So it is all ultimately a gift from God. Okay. All of the stuff, he gives us all things, all this stuff around you. So I want you to kind of imagine in your mind's eye, your life all scattered around you. There it is, all in front of you. And now if you were just going to build a successful life based on you in the middle of all of these things, now what? What do you do? How do you engage? How do you start? How do you prioritize all of the things that you could put your hand to, even all your responsibilities? How do you apply yourself? You could build your latissimus dorsi in the next 30 minutes. You know where that is, Mark?
This muscle here on the side, right?
Yeah, okay. You could build that. You could spend the next 30 minutes building that muscle strong, or you could spend your time building a little ship in a bottle. That's what you could do the next 30 minutes, but you can't do both in the next 30 minutes. You'd have to pick one. In the next day, you could travel to Bangkok if you want. You could go find an international plane ticket, spend 24 hours getting to Bangkok, or you could develop your three most important friendships over the next day. But you can't do both. You have to pick. But you can focus your life on seeking the truth, or you can focus your life on making as many dollars as possible, but you can't do both. So how do you pick what you'll be about and where your time and where your energy will go? That's my setup for the topic today. That's a big topic. It's one of those guiding principles for how do you live your life and why do you do what you do the way that you do. How do you start? So, thoughts? What do you think?
I mean, I think that you survey the five capitals and build them and trade up as possible as you have opportunity to do so. Is that the answer?
That is the answer, but you're giving away the entire show with that statement. So let's assume that somebody doesn't even know what those phrases mean. Let's start them up from nothing.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people who are listening, maybe some who are listening right now live, I don't know who's listening, but they come to us because they think these guys have some expertise and teaching for me when it comes to capital. I was teaching a financial literacy course in the past few weeks at my kid's school. Talked about capital resources, things like that.
Yeah.
And I would just say that Most people, when they hear the word capital, they think about money. And what we're going to propose is that money is a store of value for financial resources, but that you can build up and store value in a lot of different areas. And we kind of know this, right? Like I think it's in the cultural zeitgeist to say, I'm going to spend some relational capital right now. I'm about to say something that I need a relationship with you in order for it not to go badly.
Yes.
But we use money and financial capital as kind of the sneaky way to get into your life and allow us to poke around and start to talk about things that matter even more than that. And as we go today, I think we'll make the argument that the easiest one to deal with on all circumstances, whether it's going terribly and we need to deal with that, or if it's going well and we need to manage, you know, money is the easiest one to deal with. Whereas some of these others, most people don't even realize that they are capitals, meaning they don't realize that I could go out and get more of any of these other four areas we're going to talk about. Maybe health, maybe friendships. We kind of know about investing in those.
Right.
But spiritual capital, which we're going to talk about, I think most people think I just kind of float along and then maybe I have a spiritual experience.
Right.
And it's kind of by chance, and I hope that happens.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to talk about, and that's really kind of why the show exists, and even why we started with money, which is a question we get all the time. Well, if money is the least important one, why are you focused? Like, I was talking to somebody who just started the podcast recently, and they went back and they said, you know, the first episodes were like budgeting, debt, like very basic money stuff. Now you guys talk about crazy stuff like bicycling across America with a family of nine. So that's the whole point for us, is we start with the one that's actually kind of the easiest to manage. And then from there, we get our little hooks in you and get to poke around in your business and stuff that's even more important.
Well, that seems to be what God does, is that there's way, way, way more talk in the Bible about money than there is even about relationships. There's more in the Bible that talks about money than there is about heaven or hell. And those are pretty big, important subjects. But money is something that we deal with every single day. It's right at our fingertips. And it's something that's so tangible that we all understand. And God has done the genius move of letting money train us in all of these different skills that apply to all of these other areas of our lives. I mean, I grew up as a kid who I wanted to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to follow him all the way. I want at any cost. And what I was taught was that if you ignore finances, if you completely are oblivious to that world, that is some sort of mark of spiritual maturity. And then I grow up, into an adult and realize, oh, wait, God expects me to lead a family. Oh, wait, if you lead a family, you have to have some acumen regarding finances. I think to myself, am I supposed to lead a business? Is that an evil thing? There are people out there that would say that it is a very worldly concern to have any sort of business interests. You start looking in the Bible and go, wait, this isn't how money is represented in the scriptures at all. But I picked up along the way from evangelicalism that a sort of naive stupidity about all things financial was somehow very spiritual, that I was more like a guru, more like Gandhi. If I never had any money, never had to make any financial decisions, oh no, nothing for me, I'll give it away to the poor. And that sort of nonsense. EJ is on right now. And I'm happy to say that she said she wants to know, a wise Mark called the temporary guest host. I think that's a name that was assigned to you, or did you enter that for yourself?
No, I thought it would be an expression of humility to show that I'm only here at the behest of Steve, and I could be removed any day. It's possible.
I could press a button. I think I can press a button and make you just go away. See, There, Mark's gone. We don't need him in the show anymore. No, I'm kidding. But there he is. We do need him. But I think you don't know this, EJ, but every time that we get on to record, he gives himself some crazy name. And he gave himself the name Temporary Guest Host. So I could riff on this subject a long time because it's why we exist. But here's the basic idea. Different endeavors have different values in the Bible. So understanding these comparative values will absolutely aid you in running your home and your dough like a biblical boss, to know what things are worth. Again, think of yourself in the landscape of all of your potentials and all of your responsibilities scattered out in front of you. So what we call a capital is a, I'm very excited. I really like to use visual aids. So here's my, I'm throwing that up. So what we call a capital is any investable asset. Economists, as Mark mentioned, Mark studied economics, did you not?
I did.
They talk about natural capital. That's the natural resources available to us geographically. They talk about public capital. That's the infrastructure of cities, et cetera. And they talk about social capital. That might be the value of a brand. So there's these different values and capitals. They're all on the landscape in front of you. And if you're asking yourself, what are the most valuable things? What do I put my hand to? Where are the priorities? The Bible actually tells us some comparative values in the Bible. The answers are all right there if you know how to look. And they help us know how to run life and how to prioritize our time. They actually tell us, as we were insinuating before, that financial capital is not worth nothing. It's not a zero, scripturally speaking. It's not worth nothing. There is great value regarding money. Let's look at some of these value comparisons in the Bible. Okay, we're just going to look at a few Bible verses. Matthew 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he will gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So your soul, this might be an obvious thing if you're a seasoned believer, but your soul is worth more than all of the money and all of the material wealth of the planet combined, your soul. So that's good to know. Okay, tip one, okay, my soul is worth more than all material possessions. That kind of tells me that investing in getting more stuff is probably a bad goal, specifically if I suffer in the process. Not a good idea. Okay, I'm just thinking, okay, that's one of those verses, just kind of helps me start ranking things. Let's look at another one. Matthew 6 says, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek." That really word doesn't really say Gentiles. It just says pagans, all the non-Jews, the people that follow false gods. They don't know the one true God. They follow after all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But here comes the insight: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, eating, drinking, clothes, all these things will be added to you as well. So the insight is the kingdom of God is more important than food and clothing, but also seeking after the kingdom of God is a gateway to having these things provided for you. That's a pretty helpful thing to understand. Jesus said that. What I just said, point blank, he said, know that if you seek the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you as well. So that is a great kind of, I could give you 10 verses that all say that same thing, but the insight is seeking the kingdom of God and seeking his truth as your priority leads to blessing in all of these other areas. Definitely is true for financial area as well. So these are kind of known Christian ideas that the spiritual life is more important than the material life. Got it. And God's kingdom supersedes the empire of the senses. Okay, got it. If you're a believer, you bought in on that. You think there's something that we can't see is more important than what we can see. So, but there are other comparisons made throughout the Bible. I'd like to look at a few more of those. And by the way, if anybody's watching, you have any questions, you can put comments in I'm trying to monitor those. Our producer is also watching for questions that come through, and we'll be throwing us apropos ones that we can mention. Okay. There's other comparisons made throughout the Bible. For instance, Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor is to be preferred over silver and gold." So that is to say that your reputation, which is part of relational capital, we'll talk about that in a second, your reputation is worth more than money, financial capital. Oh, okay. So again, I'm ranking them in my mind. Relational capital is above financial capital. Okay, good. Anything that helps me put these in an order of priority is helpful. Here's another one. Really strange little verse in the Bible. We've talked about it several times on Abraham's Wallet. It's Luke 16:9, and it says, "Use worldly wealth," talking about dollars and cents, "use worldly wealth to buy friends for yourself." Sounds a little shocking. Might do some pearl clutching on that one. Wait, relationships are supposed to be pure with nothing connected to them. The Bible says, use money to buy friends for yourself. The point being, in the Bible, that relationships are worth more than money. Okay, so spend money to develop relationships because relationships are more valuable. That is to say, if I could spend a capital of lesser value to get more of a capital of greater value, then I should do it. And the Bible tells me to. Use wealth to gain friends. Good to know. There's all sorts of little comparisons that you find throughout scriptures like this. So if you put them all together, you kind of take all the wisdom of the Bible, you take all these kind of comparisons, you try to rank them. What is God's value system? I want to understand what he says about how life should work and what really matters in life. Here's what you come up with. The number one value in life is spiritual capital. That's the greatest capital. Again, this is something that you have to invest. Spiritual capital. Mark, give me an example of spiritual capital that you have and how you could invest it, how you have invested your spiritual capital.
I mean, a lot of the spiritual capital that I think I have comes from just time alone with the Lord that has resulted in some level of confidence that I know his thoughts on certain things. And you know, that could be as simple as, like, I've spent a lot of time in the Word. And so now I have some wisdom when it comes to just how to navigate the world. I could share that with somebody. I could build a relationship by telling somebody, hey, do you know what God says about X, Y, or Z? And whether they have ever met the king of the universe or not, they might say, well, I'm interested in what that is. Or they might already be a Christ follower who, yeah, can you teach me how to fill in the blank, be a husband, be a father? Those might not sound, I don't know, spiritual and completely, because a lot of the things the Lord tells us how to do are just how to live and serve him and exist in the world that he created. But I think at the end of the day, this one's, like we said at the intro, it's the hardest to go get more of, because I mean, I can study and there's some degree where I can know God's heart through study, but that by itself doesn't get me there. So I think that's when you say, like, give me an example of spiritual capital that you hold, I'm thinking, like, well, it's just my relationship with the king, and that is either better or worse, depending on a whole bunch of things, like my obedience, my time with him, my attentiveness to him, etc.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe spiritual capital is wisdom. It's sitting inside you. I can think of times that I've seen you apply and invest your spiritual capital. That would be when you're giving someone counsel. And it might be counsel on finances,
yeah.
But it's spiritual capital because you got it from God himself. You got it from his word. I've seen you pray for people. I've seen you minister to people. You are applying your spiritual capital to the benefit of others. And one thing that's interesting about what you said is that more important capitals can trickle down and they can benefit lesser capitals. It's interesting to think, if you are more spiritually mature, these things will trickle down. I guarantee you they will have great relationships. There's a verse that says wisdom is proved right by her actions, meaning a wise person has great relationships. Your intellectual life is going to be healthy if you're a spiritually mature person. Your physical life is going to be self-controlled. It's going to be disciplined and harnessed because of your spiritual maturity. And we could also say, if you're a devotee of kind of the concepts that we spend time with at Abraham's Wallet, that your financial life is also going to be in order. Those things don't work that way going up the ladder. So it's not the case that if you have a whole bunch of money, we could probably assume that you are spiritually mature. It doesn't work that way. It's not the case that if you have big muscles and you're physically fit, that we could assume you have great relationships. No, that doesn't work that way. It works that way top down. It doesn't work that way from the bottom up. Go ahead.
It's why we get so worked up about when otherwise extremely spiritually mature people act as if the ability and skill to handle money wisely and grow it is an unspiritual thing. Like, I would argue, this maybe is too hot of a take for a live stream, but I would argue that if somebody that we would point to and go, that's a spiritual giant, that person's super mature, but they're saying things like, well, money is dirty and you should give it all away and not pass any to your kids, that we've actually not only identified financial capital, we've also identified, not saying that they're a bad person, we shouldn't listen to their spiritual and what they have to offer, but there is an area of their life spiritually where they are immature.
Yeah, that's right. So Lil Dumpling 3 says, Jen Wilkins compares every time you study your Bible to invest in a savings account that will one day you'll need to withdraw from. I don't really know what to say about Jen Wilkins. Don't know her scene, but I think that's right. I think that is a description of this, of thinking of maturity, spiritual maturity as capital. That is something that we're going to be drawing from. I'm studying stuff right now that I'm super interested in, and I don't know what it's biblical. It's a biblical rabbit trail that I'm going down and studying this stuff. And I don't know exactly what the benefits will be yet of it. Occasionally something's coming out that that's kind of reminds me of something that I'm studying about right now. But all I know is that I'm building this capital that has to do with intimacy with God. It has to do with following him. And I know scripturally that I will benefit, and everybody on my downline will benefit because, again, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things get added to you as well. Okay. We don't have to take this long to walk through every one of these. I just want to give this list.
I was trying to mess with us right now and I was on the live stream, I'd be sending in lots of quotes that sounded like weighty and good, but I'd be using my friends' names as the author and just see how many I could get Stephen to read. That's what I would be doing.
I would do the same. I would do the same. Trying to trip up the live stream. This reminds me of a story of the time that I was in eighth grade. And I know you know this story, Mark. And it was the first couple of days of school, and the teacher was trying to get to know all the kids. And so he said, you know, this is back in the days before everything was electronic. So put right on this 3x5 card how I could get in touch with your parents if there's trouble, blah, blah, blah. And also be sure to write down what your preferred name is. If there's a name that you're usually called that you would like me to, a name that you would prefer me to call you. And I thought, I think it'd be funny if you call me George. And so I wrote that down as my preferred name. And then this eighth grade teacher of mine then called me George for a couple of weeks at least. And I got a big chuckle out of it. Winks from the crowd. Hilarious. I'm hilarious. And then he used the information on that 3x5 card eventually to actually call my parents and say, does Stephen ever go by the name of George? And the answer was no, never. And then I got in trouble. I got in trouble at school, and then I got in more trouble at home. But I thought it was.
I can hear Linda's voice as she scolds you for this.
Yeah. So she's so put off. She thinks, I'm from a nice family. We did what's right. We acted good to those in authority. What are you doing? Okay.
Relational capital.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent relational capital before I'd ever earned any from that teacher, whose name was Scott Boren. If you're out there, Scott Boren. Okay. Boren. And his class was pretty Boren as well. All right. Spiritual is number one. It's the number one thing that you should invest in. I'll talk more about applying these truths. The second most important, you've already heard it come up several times in these verses, is relational capital, your relationships. And wisdom is the spending money. It's the currency of spiritual capital. And the currency of relational capital is trust. How many people in your life trust you? And you trust them with jokes. You trust them with your secrets. They trust you. And those relationships could be seen in business relationships. They could be seen in church. They might be seen on the golf course. I don't know. Trust relationships. That's the second one. Underneath that, the third most valuable resource, for third most valuable capital in your life, is physical capital. And so the physical is a funny one, because I think several things fit into this bucket. Physical capital would be your body. That, of course, is part of your physical capital. All of the property that you're responsible for, including your car, would be under physical capital. Your physical capital would be your home. It's the things that you can invest. You can also invest in the physical space, your time. That's part of your capital. That's part of your physical that you can invest is your time. Number four, underneath physical, is intellectual. That this is the world of the mind, and the currency of the intellect are ideas. So how do you go about getting ideas? Well, you need to spend time alone thinking. That's really good for your brain. You need to eat well. That's good for your brain. It's funny how, again, if you take care of things physically, then your intellect can trickle down and benefit from that. You need to have good input. Again, the Bible is probably the number one thing that you need input from. It's going to trickle down and bless your mind. But there are also extra biblical books that would be great for you to meditate on and get some ideas in. There's probably things that are really beneficial for you to watch. And there's probably things that are trash for you to watch. You shouldn't watch. That's intellectual. And number five, you could think of it as a favorite around here. It's certainly a bell we ring over and over, is financial capital. It's the number five capital. It is the least important of all those listed. It is easy to come by. It can be spent. It can be used to bless. To bless, if you were to enrich all of the higher ranking capitals, but again, it doesn't always work downwards. You know, it's not the case that if you have a bunch of money that you definitely have better relationships. I can promise you that's not the case. But if you're relationally savvy, then you use your money to enrich relationships. So. There's the layout. Do you have any things that come to your brain when you see those five laid out like that, Mark?
Well, you know, I think that it's really easy for us to understand, like, the lowest levels are easiest to understand. I know how to measure what I've got.
Yes.
It's a financial, and I know how it's acquired. I either go earn it, or I invest and make it, or whatever.
It is the most easily measured. You're right.
The next two are also, I think, pretty easy to understand. You know, I can go learn, and that would expand my intellectual capital. I can learn from another person or from a book. Like you said, I could spend time sitting and working out ideas. That's all good. Physical capital, like insofar as the body is concerned, I think most people have some idea of exercise being a thing that builds the body and strengthens it, and that going and spending, you know, 40 minutes every month cleaning my car will result in a nicer environment when I'm driving around. So like those things are pretty straightforward. And then we start to get into, okay, relational capital is a little bit weird because I could invest a lot and still have nothing to show for it in some cases, or I could just have relationships that seem like they're great with very minimal work effort, which doesn't typically happen in those other three. And then spiritual hits, like so much of that is actually one way. Certainly at the beginning, when we go from death to life, in terms of the Lord, I think that one, it's like, how do I go out and get more spiritual capital? So that's, they're easier to understand the lower you get, I think. And the only other thing I'd say is, I think for every single one of these, I thought of it when you said TV, watching things that are trash, there's like poison pills that can kill capitals in each of these categories, right? I could pursue spiritual capital in somewhere that is not the Lord. And that
would that's true.
It could have positive near-term effects, but in the long run, I'm going to end up in some dark places. I wish we had time for you to tell the story right now when you went on a walk with Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, relationally, there's things I could do that in a very small amount of time would explode some of the most important relationships in my life. And obviously physical, even intellectually, there's things that erode those capitals that aren't just spending.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a good question I'm going to throw up. Ready? I'll let you riff on it. And then I'll riff on it. Brandon T3 says, am I acquiring capital through relationships only and investing in relationships? Are there other ways to exchange spiritual capital besides praying and loving people? Let's start with the second question first. Are there other ways to exchange spiritual capital besides praying and loving people?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in terms of acquiring it, maybe what you're asking, Brandon, is how we pour it out. I think that spiritual capital sometimes is spent through just obedience, which can be really, you know, you can spend, I guess I'm saying now you can get more spiritual capital by spending, for example, relational capital. I've had a circumstance where I had to say something to someone because it was true and important for them that they were not going to like to hear. I think that was obedience to the Lord. Definitely was not like them going, oh, I feel like I've just received some spiritual capital here. It was them feeling like, well, you're a jerk, initially at least.
Yeah. My thought, Brandon T3, was there a Terminator 3 movie? There was, wasn't there? Brandon Terminator 3, T3. I remember T2. I remember seeing that movie.
I've never seen a Terminator movie, believe it or not.
The T2 movie probably came out in 92 or 93. I remember exactly where I was. I was living in Nashville at the time. I had a friend, Brian Lennox, who is a producer for Michael W. Smith and other famous acts. And he and I went to see Terminator 2. And there were things on that screen that had never been done with computers on the silver screen before. And it blew my mind. I just kept going, I don't know how did they do this? What are they doing? How is this happening? And like, you know, a big bullet gets shot through Arnold Schwarzenegger. He is, spoiler, he's a machine. that, you know, they shoot a bullet in his head and there's a hole you can see through Arnold Schwarzenegger's head while he's doing the scene. And it's blew my mind. T2, sorry, Brandon T3. Are there other ways to exchange spiritual capital besides praying and loving people? Here's a comparable. So physical capital, you go to the gym and you can lift 60 pounds. And so you are struggling to lift 60 pounds, but you do it faithfully. And then you come back and now you're doing 100 pounds. And now 9 months later, you're doing 200 pounds. You are, and what you're doing is you're building physical capital. Now, let me ask you this question, Mark. When the guy goes to the gym and he's now lifting 200 pounds, is he expending physical capital or is he building physical capital when he does that?
I mean, both, but mostly building. I don't know. Both?
It's both. He's doing both at the same time. I think this is exactly what you were getting at. You're talking about being in that conversation with your friend. You're telling some hard truths. You know they're true. You're using your capital. You're thinking, kind of taking a risk here. Don't know how this is going to go. I have been in those conversations before. And when I walk away from those conversations, I know, this isn't in the Bible, but I know that I can feel my Father, my Heavenly Father, giving me a high five and saying, you just passed a little test. We're going to keep going. I used the spiritual capital that I had and I'm building spiritual capital. So Brandon, whenever you use any spiritual gift, giving is a spiritual gift. It's generosity. So am I applying finances? Yes. Is it a spiritual move? Yes, it started up at the top. It was motivated by generosity. God likes generosity. I'm going to be generous. I might have to apply my intellect. I don't know. You might have to get on the internet to give to some people in Thailand that are in need. So you have to use some intellectual capital. You got to use some financial capital. Ultimately, it was a spiritual thing. You have spent spiritual capital and you are building spiritual capital. So,
real quick, do you think that it's now we're workshopping Five Capitals live, literally live. But do you think there's a truth to the fact that spiritual is the one that doesn't get spent like the others? Meaning when we say trade up, we are saying, well, you might have to spend money to go on a trip to see that person. That money's now gone. We even talked about spending relational capital to convey something hard or to kind of burn some matches that you aren't going to get back necessarily. What do you think?
Mark's hitting on something very exciting here, which is, you ever remember that song? Love is something if you give it away, you'll end up having more. Here's the truth about spiritual capital. The more you spend it, the more you have. It does not get exhausted. It's magical in this way. And I can tell you a verse that you're bringing to mind, which is the fruits of the Spirit. This is Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Just for a moment, think about fruit. How does fruit work? What's in the middle of an apple?
The core.
What's in the core?
Seeds.
Seeds. If you consume an apple, if I put an apple, I spend an apple into the ground, and I'll think to myself, oh no, I've lost my apple. I'm less one apple. Well, there were five seeds in that apple. Three of them might take root. We're going to end up with a whole bunch more apples. They're called fruits of the Spirit. They have seeds built in them. If you invest, Brandon T3, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control anywhere around your life, there are seeds built in. You will end up with more of those things. Michael O'Shields always said, don't get upset when someone eats your patience, because a promise of God is, If you let someone eat your patience, he'll restore it. He'll always give you more. So anyways, I think that's a long answer to your question. So I guess they are, Brandon T3, I guess they are all investing in other people, but that's how the kingdom of God works. I would say the one thing that's not like that is prayer. The more time that you spend praying, it's not about people. You're using capital. Again, some people can't stand to pray more than 5 minutes, but if you prayed 5 minutes a day, you'd soon be praying an hour a day. And if you could pray an hour a day, you'd end up as A.W. Tozer, praying 8 to 10 hours a day. That's A.W. Tozer. Anyways, it's like any other capital investing. Okay, sorry. That was a very long answer to a question that I really enjoyed. I'm going to throw up this comment real quick from Freedom Families. I think that's EJ. She said, I'm thinking how Justin Wolfenberg said kids need to experience things to truly learn and grow, not just learn and read about them. And it is the case that we have to put all of these ideas and concepts on the playing field. That's as true about spiritual growth as anything else. So I can read about, there's a verse in Mark that says you're going to cast out demons and you're going to put your hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Hey, neat thought. But do you remember, Mark, we were in Washington, D.C. We were across the street from Ben's. What's the name of that place? The famous hot dog place?
Ben's. I think it's called Ben's Chili Bowl.
Ben's Chili Bowl.
They sell the half smokes.
That's exactly right.
I'm almost at time, but I've just got to say it. Like, Half Smokes was the name of the first fantasy basketball team that I had when we were in a league. And I don't think I've shown the people my...
Get it close to the camera.
I don't know if it'll focus. I don't think it will.
Try.
But that
Wow, what a ring, Mark. What is it?
That is a fantasy champions ring. It has the name of my team, which this year actually came from Abraham's wallet. It was the Funeral Thespians.
Yes.
If you remember the Half-Baked Ideas episode.
I do.
And so, yeah, I just wanted to show that because when you said Ben's Chili Bowl, I thought of the Half Smokes, which I think might have been the last team that won our fantasy league from me. And that was about a decade and a half ago.
So. Wow, that is a long walk. Sorry, listeners. Yeah, Ben's Chili Bowl was Obama's favorite restaurant in D.C., famously. And we went there to get half smokes one time, Mark and I. And right across the street, I don't know if you remember this, there was a guy in a wheelchair. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I saw this guy and I thought of that verse, you will lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed. I'm thinking, I think we had a short conversation with guy in the wheelchair. Would you like to walk? I mean, Jesus asked those kind of questions, which are kind of embarrassing, but he asked them. So that's what we asked. Person said, yes, we put our hands on this person and prayed that they would be healed. The end of the story is, I don't think they were. I don't have any memory of anything miraculous happening, but I'm telling you that I spent some spiritual capital by putting it on the playing field. I still have a memory of that. How many years ago was that? I still have a memory of that. Really important point. Freedom Families. I know that we all need to go. And if you need, do you need to jump off in like 2 minutes, Mark?
I do.
Okay. Well, while I'm doing this, I'll tell you what, I just got 6 little suggestion ideas for people. Then I'll remind them about the weekend and then we'll go. So you want to say goodbye now?
Yeah, I can say goodbye now. I'll leave you guys in the care of Steve. And
yeah.
Also just thanks for the people who tuned in and gave us comments. That's so fun. You always know when you put yourself out there for the first time, you don't know if anybody will show up. So that's really fun. You guys came and engaged with us on the live stream.
Definitely. Nice shirt, by the way. Nice Outpost Advisor shirt.
Go.
All right. Have a good one. Goodbye. He's gone. Finally, he's gone. All right. So I've just got 6 little applications for you all. Number one, if you're looking at these capitals, let me ask you this question. I'd ask this of anybody. We'll definitely be asking this to the people that come out to visit us in Harrodsburg, October 11th through 13th. And that is, if you give your life a quick survey, how would you score vitality-wise in these 5 areas? How would you score yourself? Which is thriving? Which is hurting? Which needs your attention? Let's do the same thing in your family life. Take a given week of family life. You could think of the last week of your family. How is that being invested? Look at these five capitals. How is that being invested? Or is it not being invested? Do you just fritter away family time on entertainment? No, no, don't do it. Turn back, repent, change your ways, invest. What you're going to see over and over and over over the Bible is trade up, invest and trade up, invest and trade up. Time is one of those things that you have a lot of. It's there for you. You can invest it however you want. Why wouldn't you start investing it in spiritual and then move to relational and then move to physical and then move to intellectual? Why wouldn't you invest your family's time in these things? When's the last time you said we're doing a family workout because physical capital is important and we're lacking in it? We're going to talk about nutrition for 10 minutes. I don't know. We're going to talk about good relationships and we're going to practice saying, I'm sorry, because that's really good. You know, it's a really good lesson in building capital, et cetera. So that's two. Give your life a quick overview. Give your family life a quick overview. Number three, decide of these five things, which needs attention right now, which is like, there's a glowing red light on the dashboard. We've got to give this some attention in life right now. And I'll give you a tip. Once you know what that is, you should probably use the other capitals to enrich that thing. So there was a time in my family when my wife realized, you know, I've got these nagging knee and back issues, and it's not just killing my like exercise routine. It's killing our family life. And it's killing my like inner life. Like I'm starting to, drag. I can feel the ship dragging aground on like depression and like my emotional up. We decided it's time to address her physical life. What did we do? We prayed about it, right? We prayed about it. We invested spiritual capital. We invested relational capital. Who do we know that can give us insight? Well, we have some friends who are more averse in medical world. We sought their advice. We definitely used finances and we started straightening those things up. And she got some sort of, there's the word prosthetic. Isn't a prosthetic when you put on like a fake nose for a movie? But what do you put in your shoes? I don't know. I don't know what the word is. I'm alone here. Anyhow, we put money against those things. We put friendships against those things. We put our intellect against those things. We attacked that already because it was one of these things. It was a growing red light on the dashboard. Number four, do you have a couple of hours? You just go, I have a free afternoon. Sometimes that happens. Well, the kids are going to be doing this thing. They're going to the park. My wife is at this thing. I know I'm going to have a couple of hours. It's kind of a wonderful, beautiful moment when that happens. But if you say I've got a couple of hours, just start going down the list and see what needs investing in my life. And by the way, I should have said this with the family stuff. If you are somebody who says, I'm not really interested in investing, I'm more interested in scrolling for the next few hours, and I'm just going to flip through and waste time and, I don't know, dawdle away the hours, I have to warn you. I'm as your friend, I have to warn you that failing to invest biblically makes you a villain. Yes, something as simple as failing to invest makes you a villain. That's from Luke 16. And Jesus calls the servant who failed to invest wicked and lazy. That is a bad look. Don't be that guy. So invest somewhere. Just go down the list. Say, well, how's my spiritual life right now? How's my relationship life? Maybe the best thing I could do with those 2 hours is call a friend and say, let's go get coffee, etc. Two more things, I'm done. Create family priorities from the top down. When you look at your year or when you look at any given week and you think, what is our family definitely going to do in the next week? Start with the top down. Where are we going to build spiritual capital in our lives? And I'll give you another thing, Brandon T3. about that spending is also building. We decided to spend financial and physical and relational and spiritual capital to go do a mission trip over spring break. We went to Mexico to an orphanage and we served there. Guess what happened? Our spiritual capital got built by giving spiritual capital away, and we became stronger. We grew more in love with the idea of generosity and serving. That has so taken root in my family from that one trip. I'm so grateful. We must be people who think investment. If you have a window of time, it's like a spring break, you have a window of time. There's a week. What are we going to do with that week? Let's start looking down the list. How could we develop spiritual capitals right up at the top? How could we do that as a family? Great questions to ask. So create family priorities from the top down. Those should be the big boulders in your week and even in your day. Is where is our family going to build? Let's have a prayer time in the morning. Let's read the scriptures around dinner. Okay, after that would be relationship time. You know what? I think my 12-year-old is struggling with one of her relationships. I need to take a walk with her. I need to build into that relationship. I need to do a little pastoring, hear her heart, et cetera. Those should, and things should follow in that order when you're building a week. Where we do this with people, actually do this exercise. Where in this week does your family build spiritual capital? Right? Put those in place. All right. Now, where are relationships built in your week? Beam, boom, boom. Okay. Now everything else is subservient to those things because they're so important. Well, now, where are you going to get exercise? Let's fill that into the week. Where are you going to work? Work is part of physical and intellectual capital. Those things that school has to fit in there as well. And then finally, financial concerns, we think of that as a layer that goes over the whole week, is where are we strategically spending money? Is there a way for us to, I'll speak for myself and say, if you're looking for opportunities in this time in your life, this season, where we're looking for opportunities to make a little bit more money. Where could I do that? If I've got a few hours left on a Saturday, my daughter can babysit, et cetera. So that lens is a great way to build family priorities. Last thing, we've said this before, when you have the opportunity to trade up with these capitals that are on the screen right now, trade up, trading something that is worth less, like financial capital, for something that's worth more, like physical capital, do it. Trade financial capital for friendship, trade mental capability for spiritual growth, trade physical capital, that's helping somebody move or tilling somebody's garden for them, for the sake of relational capital. Do it. Trade financial capital for intellectual growth, for physical space. Use financial capital to buy great. Now, this is an interesting exercise I came up with. Use financial capital to buy great books that will lead to spiritual growth. Go buy a great book that will lead to spiritual growth and then start investing your time in that book. Do it and go up, 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 up. All right. Just want to remind everybody, October 11 through 13 is going to be the first ever Abraham's Wallet, Five Capitals Working Weekend. And here's the deal. It's in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. That's a couple of hours away from Cincinnati. It's in like the lovely, lush green fields of the sort of bourbon country of Lexington, where there's all these wonderful white picket fences with horses everywhere. It's beautiful country. There's a golf resort that we're going to, and we're going to teach more Five Capitals content like this to the people that come. And we're calling it a working weekend because we're going to be presenting Five Capitals material. And we're going to be getting into your lap. So you're going to be working through this stuff and we're going to be working with you on building your plan for investing your five capitals and dealing with your issues, whatever they are in your life. There is a link to sign up for that weekend in the show notes right here. That's it for today. Thanks everybody for coming.